Thomas, my question would be about Ravi Shams Nitya Singh. Obviously, apart from trying to work on our own, you know, Nitya Singh offering, is there any way you want to see if you can assist Nitya Singh project?
Nitya Singh? Well, I make podcasts. I think I'm sort of making it available. I'm also sensitive to being in someone else's backyard. I don't mean Deepak's. I mean Pranas. And Shruti's backyard. And we have an important project here, which is building the Haveli. My other sort of goal, because I'm a very goal-oriented person, I got to be going somewhere, doing something, and particularly in relationship to Radhi Shyam, and for that sort of time's running out, I want to be able to see that their maintenance is taken care of. So we started Nitya Seva quite some years ago. It was it was very favorable at that time when the amount that wasn't calculated as well as it could have been. It didn't include Gornitai either. But at that time we were getting 12. And even sometimes went up to 14% of banks. Now we're at the stage where the bank is going to start charging us money to keep money in there. So, and that's a global phenomenon, except for India right now. But anyway, in terms of building up a portfolio, be it a fund, which would have been in the bank, currently, the idea is instead real estate or land, which earns enough income to be able to maintain the deities and cover inflation and everything else. So that's that I'd like to do in the next 5 years to be able to cover that. It's quite a large amount. It's almost half of what the Haveli costs, and it's not happening in the UK. It's happening in Hungary, where there's not nearly the type of resources or support. So that's something that I certainly need a lot of assistance with, and devotees who want to know, then they can ask if you haven't to date and known anything, then you can discuss. It's not a small amount. We're, you know, sponsoring 365 times days, and quite a few devotees already have. Who did the original Nitya Seva? 1, 2, 3, 4, and Devashi did multiple Nitya Sevas at that time. So, Nilamani. So that has changed. As I say, one reason is because the funds earn, and the other is because inflation is also calculated. Here it's sort of, you could say, an intermediate amount. It's not a small amount. In Hungary, in Hungarian terms, it's a lot. You can buy a house in the village for that much. Not this village, but the village in Hungary. And so that's something that devotees want to know more, and then they can just ask me about that. And I can tell you. Now, one thing about that, too. I need my bag. I think my big bag, actually, I'll need it. There's some papers in there. The papers that are in there are... actually, I don't... all right, bring it down. I have a list, long list, of devotees who signed contract with Radhe Shyam. Does anyone remember? The first one was in 96. Who signed the 96 contract? Okay. And then there was another one in 2006. Right, 10 years later. Who signed that contract? Okay, well, I'll remember. That's right. Vrindavani, I noticed your name over there. It was there, Vandana. So, everyone's backyard aside, contract with God is a pretty serious thing, and these are pretty serious contracts. It doesn't just say that to say, but it says a lot of other things as well. It says to give half of your will. This has got Radhe Shyam in your will, and it says you have to come spend a week, doing service. Where's that list? If you look right to the left of the desk, there's the speaker, and you'll just look around, you'll see a list. There's quite a few pages to it. I'm not going to read out all the names. So that's a quite serious commitment. And unfortunately, all the names aren't there, but they are. So for those devotees, it's really not an option. It's like if you opt out of a contract, then... especially if you opt out of a contract with Krishna. So that's something that I'll be sending actually letters out to devotees once I get to Mayapur and I have time. Then I'll send out letters, at least to the ones that I have. And I have both contracts. I've got Xerox copies of everyone's names and so on. It's in my blood, what can I tell you? It's my Varna. But anyway, if you want to know more, or if you want to head off the collector before it comes knocking on the door, then you can just come and see me. Any other things? That's right. There's one contract, and there's another one. This is the second one, and the first one is also upstairs. And these are the lists. And out of some of these, the yellow are the devotees who have actually done it. And the others are the ones who haven't. How they're going to do it, I don't know. Some of these are, you know, full-time sankirtan devotees, but they signed it. And I was in, in Kazakhstan at the time with pneumonia when this first started. So, anyway, that's as far as that is concerned. And, there's Vandana's name, and a lot of other devotees. Okay, other questions, Tom? Well, Tarakanath, Bindu, he signed. You got to absolve him of his... he may be hanging around. I just noticed that. Actually, if these things manifest, we'll be sort of halfway there. Yeah, Megan? Who, someone had their hand back there? No? Oh.
I just wanted to know, will you be still responding to correspondence?
I've got 3 years of correspondence I'm going to answer now. Which has its benefits and drawbacks. I don't like having correspondence hanging around. I used to be very, very good when Navarajamayana came, things became too intense, and I just didn't have the time for it. But I'm answering that. The drawback to it is that when I write everyone a letter, they write back. I'm corresponding, and once I get in the habit, then I'll be away. And if I do just 10 letters a day, then I get into the swing of it. And once I do that, then it's easy if I just deal with everything as they come. Yeah, correspondence is it's very good. And Srila Prabhupada talks about this actually being the duty. In other words, if a spiritual master accepts disciples, it's his duty to guide them and give counsel.
One of your, you had like an original list of instructions to your disciples when you were first initiated. One of them, there were many. One of them was for us to write to you.
Monthly, I think.
Monthly, so.
Yeah, that's a. I thought you were going to bring up the sour cream or something. No, monthly is a little much, just because things have changed a lot, at least even in terms of disciples, increased like 600 devotees. So 600 letters a month is a lot. That's like 20 a day. So that's for me to actually really read and answer each one individually. But every couple of months, every 3 months is good, especially when there's things to write about. And if pressing things come up, either very good things or not so good things, then they can write any time. And some devotees do that sort of quite religiously.
When you're in India,
Well, once I get through these, then I'll move to the other. But my correspondence, you just send it to Hungary. And then when I'm ready for more, then the devotees always coming and going, Kartik and so on. So that's fine. Not a problem. Anyone else? Oh, that's right. Where's your father? He didn't come.
I'm at home with the little one for lunch.
Okay. I'm just gonna. Okay, go ahead.
He comes to raise up what she puts for the religion, but so why doesn't he set lead a good example?
Why does?
Why doesn't he lead a good example? There are lots of other relationships with gopis. Why doesn't he set a good example?
Well, Krishna's setting a good example, but at the same time, he's also showing us what goes on in the spiritual world. And so both things are there. Sometimes for moralists or people who don't really have a balanced view of Bhagavad Gita, then they have a problem with Krishna and the gopis. But that's the reality, that's the life that goes on. And of course, the gopis are all Krishna's wives. We were just in Hungary. We were on parikrama with the older Gurukul children and the Sankirtan devotees. So we went to Bandiravan. Not Bandiravat, but Bandiravan. And that's where Krishna and Radharani got married. And that was when Krishna was very small. That's when Srimati Radharani hadn't been born, and Krishna was still a baby. And they still got married, because Srimati Radharani appeared in her original form, and Nanda Maharaj was herding cows there, and a big storm was coming. So she just appeared, and he asked her to take him home so that he could get the cows together. And so then Krishna assumed his original form, and then Brahma came, and he married them. He performed the marriage, which was mostly for the sake of both the demigods and other people who are going to have this question later on. So Upis could say Krishna is actually married to Srimati Radharani. But still, that Parakiya Ras, that's what is the highest relationship in the spiritual world. And it's all right, because in the ultimate issue, although Krishna sets a good example for everyone, but still what he does is his prerogative. And the example that Prabhupada gives is that for Krishna to be dancing with others' wives is all right, because he's all right. Whereas for us to do that is not all right, because we're not all right, because we're sick. So a sick person has to diet, but a healthy person can eat anything. So we're here in this material world, therefore for us, no sex life. Or if there is, then very restricted, because that's the diet. But if you're all right, if Krishna's all right, then you're not spiritually sick, then there's that restriction is not there. So it can't be both. Everything has to be there, and Krishna's pastimes has to be there, and also Krishna's setting the example. So he set the example by marrying so many wives, being very dutiful grihastha, and that's the example for the general people, but also to know what the real principles of perfection are. And then there's also the Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, which you have to be further spiritually advanced for. And that's something that we have to continue explaining away to people. And it will always be like that, because both of these things that appear to be quite contradictory are there. Yes, it's a good thing you reminded me. That was what I wanted to mention. There was this question that came up, devotees who were at the Pandava Sen, although the question got a little dragged out, and then it went off into a different area. But basically the question was, can a non-liberated guru deliver his disciple? You remember that? And so the answer is, well, the answer is has to be first a little, has to be a foreword or an introduction to the answer. The answer is, in principle, yes. But it has two aspects. The aspect is one from the aspect of the guru and the aspect of the disciple. So can a non-liberated person actually liberate somebody? The answer is no. Can a disciple whose guru is not liberated be liberated? The answer is yes. The principle of the first is that someone can't, you can't give something you don't have. So someone can't give an Itaseva when they don't have it in the bank. They can take a bank loan. But if you don't have the money, then you can't give it. Someone can't give you prema if you don't have prema. And the principle of perfection means that you come to the stage of sadhan, you come to the end of sadhan, and for to get from sadhan bhakti to bhava bhakti requires contact with the spiritual potency, Shuddha, Sattva, Visheshatma, and that comes by Krishna's order. And it comes through different ways. It comes through Guru, it comes through Vaishnava, it comes directly from Krishna, it can come through the holy name, it can come through other ways. So if the Guru doesn't have that prema, he won't be able to give it to you. Without that, what does that mean for a devotee? Then the devotees are, therefore, they're not going back home, back to Godhead in this life. They have to wait and get that type of guru in their next life. So Krishna says, yoga kshema bahami aham. So Krishna protects the, because it doesn't have to come only through that person. It can come in any way. And Krishna says, anantas chintayam tuam ye janam payupashati. So it can come in other ways, and it can come in any way. It can come directly from Krishna. It can come through Shiksha Guru. It can come through someone else. And the question got entangled with counselors and so on. A counselor doesn't have to be a self-realized soul to counsel someone. Even the Diksha Guru. And of course, it's always better. And Prabhupada makes that point in the Upadeshamrita, that actually one should have an Uttama Adhikari as a spiritual master. And of course, the context in which Prabhupada uses the word Uttama Adhikari really means a Mahabhagavata. Although Uttama Adhikari doesn't necessarily mean that someone is a Mahabhagavata, technically speaking. But nonetheless, and Prabhupada says, if someone has a Kanishtha Adhikari or a Madhyama Adhikari guru, then he'll have to, that disciple will have to deal with insufficient guidance. Insufficient means that it's not that he gives bad guidance, it's just that he will only be able to give you a realization as much as he has. So, but still, yoga kshem vahami aham, people can't be high and dry, especially if someone is actually really sincere Vaishnava. So you have many examples. One example here is this example of this in Gop Kumar, this Brahmin, and this Mathura Brahmana, who got initiation in his dream from Durga Devi, meets so many other people, gets guidance from others, but ultimately, when it's time for him to really get perfection, then Radharani sends Gop Kumar down. She says, deliver him. And in that day that he hears the story, and ultimately then he gets Gop Kumar's blessings, he becomes a perfected devotee. Dhruva Maharaj gets Narad's mercy, although his mother already told him, yeah, go to Vrindavan and you'll find Krishna there. But that was Krishna then sent Narada Muni. So some way it will happen. And if it doesn't come from this person, it'll come through some other person. Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Nam Mahatmya songs, then he talks about the devotee just simply getting it through chanting the holy name. No one's going to argue that you can't, the holy name can't give you prema. The question is whether it will or not. And if it's satisfied with a devotee's effort and sees that actually that prema or that shuddha sattva which is this combination of Ladini and Samvit Shakti. If it doesn't come through some other way, it will come this way. But it'll come somewhere. So no, a guru can only give what he's got. If he's not fully self-realized, he can't make someone suffer, but he can give guidance through who, which you can depend on others to actually, other medium through which it will come. And it'll come. So the disciple can be assured that yes, he'll get it. If someone's very sincere, if he's very strict in his spiritual practices, he's very honest, then yogakshema bahamyam, then Krishna will protect what he has, and whatever gap there's there, Krishna will fulfill it. Otherwise, what does it mean? The Prabhupada says, you go back home, back to Godhead, and yet, well, Prabhupada's not here to give it, so who's going to give it? And of course, some books will say, well, Prabhupada will give it. Prabhupada can give it, but others can also give it. Anything in regards to that point? If the devotee was?
Unless he was feeling like that, that they couldn't get something from their spiritual master, would they vocalize it? Would they vocalize that? Or would they just naturally gravitate towards somebody else? And take their association
with them? Well, they really need to know rather than feel. And to know, you've got to be in the know. You've got to be quite advanced. Not so advanced, but at least you have to know the proper lakshanam. Siddhasya lakshanam. What are the lakshanam? What are the qualities? They can certainly vocalize it, and they can discuss that. And there are many examples in Vaishnav history where a disciple becomes sufficiently advanced, and his guru tells him to go to someone else for further guidance. Because this is as much guidance I give either in terms of advancement or just even in terms of mood. What happens when a spiritual master is in a different rasa? So, yeah, everything should be open in terms of devotees. But that's why I say it's not that he doesn't. That's why my answer was that he can deliver, because the deliverance doesn't necessarily just depend on him. Deliverance means he gives guidance to get that deliverance through somewhere else. So one example is what Bhakti Chumaraj gives is he told Prabhupada, well, Srila Prabhupada, he said, and this was late, he says, ultimately, in order to enter into the realm of transcendence, when I'm qualified, how will I be able to do that? How will I realize my spiritual form and continue cultivating spiritual life like that? And Prabhupada said, don't worry, when the time comes, I'll come and reveal it. So that's the relationship between guru and spiritual master. So when the time comes and the qualification is there, time comes means when you're qualified for it. So when the qualification is there, then guru will reveal it, Krishna will reveal it, a method, no one will become shortchanged in Krishna consciousness. And certainly Krishna's not bound, though he can't do this. He can't. But it's like Gop Kumar, Srimati Radharani sees, says, okay, you do it. So Krishna's really admittance into giving people, a person admittance into the spiritual world. And but the tradition is that the Diksha Guru maybe may not be the main person. That's why I wrote that book, that Shiksha Guru there. It's just a question of where does it happen? You know, is your wife the best cook? Or does it happen to be someone else who ends up being the best cook? Well, whoever's the best cook is the best cook. So similarly, it may be the Diksha Guru, it may be someone else, it may be Shiksha Guru, and there may be a plurality. That's why there's facility for plurality of Shiksha Gurus. And sometimes it may be Krishna. So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, there were many instances where it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. There was the leper Vasudev, and there were other devotees who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly liberated. Anything else? We'll chant a little and take half picnic. We've got great picnic weather. It was like this on that was Friday, Thursday, when David Cameron came.
Friday.
Beautiful, that was idyllic weather. Neither it was too hot. Anyway, thank you very much. Keep in mind, time's ticking away. And who knew this Janaki who just passed away? Devotees from London knew. You knew her too? Well, you used to sing with her? You did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know her so well. She got initiated in New Rajadham. And but it really happened very, very fast. Kesha Bharati Maharaj was telling me, yes, she's moving to Radhadesh, and that was, I don't know, a month ago that he told me that. It wasn't very long. She's moving to Radhadesh, and she got an apartment over there, and she's going to be getting treatment. Next thing is, she's in hospital getting treatment. Next thing is, she's back in Radhadesh. Next thing is, I got a Gopi Bhav gives me a message that you know, she's there, she's about to pass away. Phoned up, she was already not conscious, and then she was gone. It could happen to anyone. You walk into a doctor's surgery and they can tell you any day, you only got so much time left.
She made one statement, Guru. She said, "This is the best death I've ever had."
Best death
she's ever had.
When did she say that?
I just heard it through the messages there. That were coming through. Yeah, when she was there on her deathbed.
Yeah, it sounded that she was really. It was quite glorious, and she was very, very brave. Although I heard the pain was quite bad at the end.
Yeah, she was taking sedatives.
You've heard this. I'm just trying to remember, because I read it. It's somewhere where, and it's in Shastra, that what happens if you can't remember Krishna at the time of death? So they said that Krishna will remember you. And of course, that's also one of the verses of Ishopanishad. So please don't forget. What's the verse? How does it go? Huh? No. Not here on my please don't forget all that I've done for you.
I don't forget. Please remember all the activities I've done.
That's right. In other words, if I'm not thinking of you, don't forget me. And Krishna doesn't, because that's one of Krishna's qualities, is he's very grateful. So he remembers everything that we've done for him. Okay, let's chant a little. This one time I'll chant something I remember. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai.